Let's sing together hymn number 139. Number 139. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this will flee, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fall I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Number 139. What can wash away my sin? Nothing on the body of God. One can make me whole again. Nothing on the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow
that he died for me from
to the chapter number 22. The book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, and the 22nd chapter. Now that's not hard to find. Anybody can find the first book in the Bible. Even the little children can find it. Even if they can't read, they can know what the first page is. But at any rate, this is an instructive portion. And it's surprising, too, when you think of it being the 22nd chapter on it, that it covers a period of more than 2,000 years since man was put upon the earth. But let's read the chapter, part of it at least. Genesis chapter 22, beginning at the first verse. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will show thee of, tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I am the lad who go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood as a burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, said, my father, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. That's as far as we read. But now we have some many things about the course. If we go back to the first chapter of Genesis, what do we find? We find the beginning. And in fact, this book of Genesis has been called the book of the beginning. And one sad thing about it is, it's a place for sin beginners. Sin become into this world. It has a terrible beginning and an awful ending for those who go on in it. But there are many other things, and one particular thing that makes one think of this portion here tonight is because in the third chapter of Genesis, we find everything was very good. God had created the earth, he had caused all the trees and the things to grow, and he had put the animals there, and he had taken some dust and made the man. But he said it wasn't good for the man to be alone, so what else did he do? Well, he put the man to sleep and took a rib out of his side and made a woman and presented to him. So there were two of them, but he called their name Adam. But he had put one little restriction upon them. The whole world is there, but there's a tree in the Garden of Eden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of that you must not eat, for the day you eat thereof you surely die. The Satan, the enemy, knew just exactly, I suppose, what God had said, but he comes in and tempts the woman, and she gets into conversation with him as she should not, and he even perverts the word of God, adds something to it. So we must be careful in the reading of the word of God that we get it straight, not adding anything to it, and not taking anything from it, because after all, God is God's word. But then, it would be interesting to trace on down through those chapters and see the many things, because just think of it, over 2,000 years have passed from that time until we get into this chapter here. And how many years have passed since then? Oh, almost 4,000 more. Almost 6,000 years gone since man was put on the earth. And God hasn't promised that man will be here always. At least not the way it is now. There is a man, though, who is different from all other men. And where is he? Is there any one man like you in this little company that's altogether different from all the rest? Well, you might say, sure, there's no two of us alike. That's true. But is there one that's outstanding? Is there one that's above all the others? Is there one that can forgive sin? Is there one that can claim to be the eternal Son of the living God? No. There is not. But Jesus come and God promised him. Well, wait a minute. Now we say promise, and yet it isn't the promise that we read it in Genesis 3 when God spoke to the serpent and said, because you've done it, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It's going to bruise your head. You're going to bruise his heel. Oh, to put enmity there. Who could that one be then? The seed of the woman. Well, many had been born in that time, on down through the ages, but not one had that, was that. But wait a minute, talking about the promise. It wasn't the promise exactly, it was a statement that God made to the serpent, or Satan himself, if you please. Now then, we're skipping over all these other things. What happened right after this? Well, they're seeing an okay day. Cain is born. And what does he do? Oh, he's jealous of his brother. The second one is Abel. And Abel comes at a certain time to bring an offering to God. The ground was cursed because of Adam's sin. And God said so. And thorns and thistles shall have been forth unto thee. Yes, but now when it comes to offerings, here comes Cain. And I suppose he just got a heart and planned and schemed with his offering. He bought something that the earth had produced. The earth is under curse. Did that satisfy God? Did he know any better? Why didn't he do that? Well, he should have known just as well as Abel. Because when Abel came with his offer, what did he bring? Oh, a little lamb. A little lamb? Yes, he killed it and offered it. So for a burnt offering before the Lord, and God accepted it. But oh, that made Cain mad. Why couldn't he accept my offer? My offering's worth more than that little lamb. Yeah, maybe it did. No doubt. But then it wasn't what God ordered. How did they know that it had to be shedding of blood? Oh, remember, Adam and his wife found themselves naked. In other words, guilty. And so are you. There isn't one in this room tonight, even among the little children, it hurts to say it, but it's true, we're guilty. Well, what are the little children guilty of? Not very much. But to say the least, they're sinners. Born sinners, born lost because Adam was never had any children in the Garden of Eden. He was driven out.
the death of these sons born, so that Adam was a sinner when his children were born, and so were they, and guilty in that sense before God. But how did Abel know enough to bring a lamb? How did he don't know that? Well, God took an animal and took the skins of the animal, and surely he didn't skin him alive. He skinned that animal, but he slew it, and there was the shedding of blood right there in that garden of Eden. Now what? Well, he made goats of skins, not acres, goats of skins to cover and skin clothes Adam and his companions, so that they didn't have to stand around naked and be ashamed to run and hide away from God. But you and I, no matter who we are, all alike, no difference, we've all sinned. Except, of course, it may be different in the amount of sin, when you especially look at these dear little children that are here. But nevertheless, we sinned. Now, what can wash away my sin? We were reminded that in our little hymn, weren't we? What can wash away my sin? Do you know anything? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me clean again or holy again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It brings to mind a little story. You don't mind me telling it, in respect for the benefit of the children. There was a certain district in some part of the world, but there was one little colored boy in the school, and all the rest of them were white. And the poor little fellow, oh, he just felt so bad. He felt so miserable and out of place to think that he's the only one. But one day, when the school bell rang and the children come running in, I don't remember what the boy's name was. Let's call him Finer. And the teacher missed him. Well, who's Finer? Wasn't he here on the ground playing? Yeah, he's here. Why not? No. He didn't come in when the bell rang. So they went out to hunt for him. And down the little place to the school up on the creek. And there was some sand there. And that poor little fellow was standing picking that sand and rubbing himself, doing everything he could, trying to wash himself white. Could he do it? No. He's born that way. Could you change anything like that? No. You're born that way. You're a sinner. Well, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And when God slew that animal, and that after he told Satan that the seed of the woman is going to bruise your head and you're going to bruise his heel, he was looking forward to Calvary's cross, where his only begotten son was to be left as a lamb to the slaughter, and where he was to die. Whose fault? For whose sin? For whose sin? Suppose any one of you been the only sinner on earth. You couldn't go to heaven unless Christ died for you. And he loved you enough so that he would do it. And God himself against your sin loved each one of the individuals so much that he would provide a way for you to escape me dying in your sin. He would have someone who would take your place and bear the judgment that you deserve so that he could set you free. God would do that? Yes, and he did. Well, now then, what did he do after us? Well, Cain's offering wasn't accepted. Oh, he was so provoked about what God told him. Wait a minute, Cain. Look here. There's no use in you acting like that. The offering outside the door right now, sin offering, and it'll be subject to you. Go and get it. And then your offering will be accepted as well as Cain, as Abel. There is no other way of approach to God except through the shed blood of Christ. He becomes the open door by dying on that cross. For in the same chapter in John, where he tells you, I am the door, he also said, I am the good shepherd. But what does the good shepherd do? Takes good care of the sheep. Yes, that's the great shepherd, and the good one too. But what else did he do before he can have sheep? Oh, I, the good shepherd, giveth his life for the sheep. And he was speaking to Israel, who were his natural sheep. But he said, you know, I've got other sheep beside me, and I must bring them. I must bring them. I must. What's the must about? Well, I'm not. Who are those other sheep? Well, I'm one of them. It's the Gentile. Anything else but. But once you get on, then, well, time and long, the population of the earth increased, and there were thousands of people on the earth. There was no law, no commandments, no restraint, no policemen, no officers. Nobody could tell anybody, you must not do this, you'll be punished if you do nothing. They did just like that. And what did they want to do? They wanted to do sin. They wanted to be wicked, and they did. And what's the result? Well, God knew what's going to happen. So he said to Noah one day, Noah, the end of all this is coming for me. And there's nothing in man's heart, nothing but wickedness continually. They only do what they want to do. And there's dangers to be there. But so he, what did God do? Oh, you know what he did. He sent a flood. But wait a minute. Before he sent the flood, he told Noah, now tell me what you do. I found you righteous before me. Has he found you there? Are you there, soldier, tonight, already trusting the word of God? Are you really believing the Lord Jesus? You know, if you don't believe God's record, you son, play the monster. Tell me this. You make God a liar. You think I wasn't so bad as that, but I didn't need to be Savior to die for me. God said, you did. Well then, what do you do? Well, Noah starts building it up. Oh my, how long did it take him to do it? Maybe some of you boys and girls remember. 120 years. 120 years building an ark? Sure. What kind of an ark? Well, an ark that could go through this flood that could come upon the earth and preserve Noah and his family alive. But what did the people say to Noah? And you know what he had to tell them? Oh, Noah, what are you doing? What are you building an ark? Oh, there's going to be a flood. Flood? What's that? Oh, it's going to rain. There's going to be a lot of water here. Cover up all these hills and everything. And people go down. I'm building an ark to save me. Well, you're crazy, Noah. There can't be any such a thing. They never did rain on the earth. Well, maybe it happened. I expect it happened. They didn't need it then. But when the 120 years were up and the ark was complete, all his preaching that Noah done, I don't know what he preached the work at, it's corporate or anything of that kind, but his work was doing, what he was doing, was a talk against the people on the earth. But what did they do? Well, they wouldn't believe it, but the day came. Now God says, Noah, come on, bring your wife, get any children? He didn't tell, ask him, of course, he said, bring your son, and he asked for him, and get son, get wife, bring your wife. They belonged to Noah, they were his family, and they got in the ark. Now, who shut the door? Who shut them in? God himself shut them in. And then what? First of all, the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the water began coming up around. Next thing, the windows of heaven open, and the rain begins to fall, and they've never seen anything like that before. Sometimes we read of people who never, in some climates, where they've never seen snow. It's too warm, they've never seen any snow. Then some of them happened to get into a country where it was cold, like maybe like the Bin Laden, but they got to see some snow, and they wondered and marveled at the fucking white rain. Couldn't understand what it was. Could these people understand? No. And they didn't understand either that God was sending it because of their wickedness. But God knew before that was the foundation of the earth for them, what they would do. Well, anyway, here it is. And here are the people, I suppose, who are climbing up the highest mountain, getting out of the way because the water is actually coming around by the earth. Finally, then I suppose they get to the highest mountain of the earth, but what's become of the earth? Well, there it was sitting over in the dry land. Could they run to it? Well, no, the water had raised it up. The land was blown out. No hope whatever when the judgment fell. Dear soul, if there's one in this room tonight that's not sure of being saved, children in the precious blood of Christ, get in tonight. God isn't going to destroy the earth at the end of the flood. He said he wouldn't. And every time you see a rainbow, don't think at all that's just a common natural thing. It might look that way to you, but it isn't. Every time you see a rainbow, and many times when you don't, there are rainbows that God sees, and every time he sees that rainbow, he remembers. But you know, I promise there's never going to be another flood to cover the whole earth. But wait a minute. The earth as it is now is going to be judged, but it's reserved for fire. It's going to be destroyed with fire. Well, on down, coming down to the ages then. Finally, after the ark has been strolling around for those 150 days, now the wind, the rain is stripped and the water goes down. And Noah up there in the ark began to wonder. So he sent a bird out, a raven, out through the window. I suppose that window was up on top. I understand that this because couldn't very well be on the side. Nobody could see what was going on. The raven went up and never did come back. Delighted to get out of that ark. But what else? Oh, God sent a dove out. A raven, you know, is an unclean bird. The dove is called a queen bird in the scripture. Well, what's the dove do? Oh, it went up, looked around, flew around, and came right back to the ark. It didn't like that unclean thing. And dear soul, if you've been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, you don't want anything to do with the sinful things of this world. You don't want to go on with the things that you went on with in your old nature. It'll be a shame to you. As we read in the sixth chapter of Romans. But then what did the devil do? He tried it again. After a few more days, sent the devil out again. And this time it came back, but it brought something new. You remember what God is? Oh, I expect some of your children remember. God an olive leaf. In his feet, and picked it up. Oh, they knew it said, but no one knew. Yes, sir, now it won't be long to die because the olive tree is blooming, or got leaves on it, and the devil brought some back. He sent out the third time, and then it never did come back. And now God says, the earth is dry. Now you can open up the ark and go out and all that. Not just that, well, now a mess up. When they come out of the ark, they haven't got Noah in his hand. Did they do any better? No, they didn't do any better. They had made a sacrifice, all right. They thought all accepted. But did they continue in the way? No, they got just as wicked again. Even under government, they failed. But we must be grateful to go on with that chapter. But you know how all things are. And what's more, what's worse still, that instead of worshiping the true living God, the human being, everyone gets a life from God. The very air you breathe, the water you drink, it all comes from him. But no, they wouldn't own him. So they got to worshiping every kind of thing. In Romans, the first, second, and third chapter of Romans, bring that out very, very plainly. Now what's God going to do? Well, he looked at all of those people down on earth, and they'd all gone into worshiping idols. But he looked down, and he saw one man, Abraham. He knew that what Abraham would do, so he called him, and to go out of his country and so on. And that's the man we have up before us here in our chapter tonight. Now, one particular reason to bring him before, we believe it's this. God told the serpent in the wilderness that the seed of the woman is going to bruise your head, and you're going to bruise his heel. Now in Abraham there, we find another seed spoken of. Another seed? No, not exactly. But the same seed spoken of in the other way. So Abraham, he called out of idolatry, and what is the world is today? Oh, beloved friend, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you should worship him. But how many of us will let most anything come in between ourselves and the Lord Jesus? There's a danger for everyone not giving him the whole place in our heart. And he's worthy of it. The one, you think anybody that would die for you is worthy of your homage and praise? You think you should worship someone who's really given his life for you? Well, on earth, wouldn't it? But you would adore and admire such a one. But no, it wasn't that. So Abraham is called out. Now, a number of things in connection with Abraham, which we haven't time to notice, but most of you can remember something about it, and if you don't, you will get your Bible out and read the book of Genesis, and you'll find out some of those things. But now what we got here? Well, it says here in our chapter, Abraham, God called him to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, did he answer? Why did you hear your name? Would you answer? God is calling to each one of us tonight. If you're not saved, he's calling you as a sinner to come to the Lord Jesus and name him now through Christ the open door and have the blessed assurance that you have become the possessor of eternal life and your sins blotted out forever and you can go and live in glory with the Lord Jesus when you leave this place. That's to the sinner. But what about the saint? Is he calling in? Has he got anything for you to do? Beloved Christian friends, there is a call from God. Because we are not, if one can speak for others, we are not giving the Lord his rightful place. We fail. We come short of all of the things. And oh, how God would have us do different. But there is this now is before the sacrifice is made. So Abraham answers immediately. He said, well, here am I. Behold, here I am. And he said now in the second verse, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, an offering, therefore, a burnt offering upon one of the mounts which I will tell you. Oh, what is that? Who could speak like that? Who would tell you to take your son, your only son, and go and offer him for burnt offering?
Well, we won't do it this day. God isn't calling for that anymore.
What?
What?
You know what?
So we'll come to that later, perhaps, we don't forget.
Now what? Your only son, Isaac.
Did he have another son?
God had promised that he could go son.
And we're going to have a son.
And he was 100 years old when Isaac was born.
But you know that he had another son, but it wasn't the son that God promised him.
And we haven't time to think of that now. His name was Ishmael. But now, your only son, he's tempting Abraham.
Wait a minute. You said God did tempt Abraham.
Let's think a little bit. Satan tempted the woman, didn't he? In the Garden of Eden. Well, here, really, a better word for that is not tempting. God never tempts anybody. If you're an honest father or mother, you don't tempt your children and teach them to lie or do anything wrong with you. You might try them on certain things to test them in that way, and that's what God does. Temptations come from the devil. That's their source. Trials may come from the Lord. He may test you and try you out and find out that's what he's doing to Abraham. And take now your son Isaac, whom you love. My driven right down to the tender cords of the heart, whom you love, and go to the mount into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. A burnt offering. What does that mean? Well, it's something that God has to have. Christ Jesus is brought before us in several manners as an offering. But beloved friends, listen. If God was to be vindicated, if there was to be someone to glorify him on earth, as to the sin question, it certainly couldn't be the descendants of Adam. For they're all sinners. And they all went, like you've already heard about, and were destroyed the blood. And no better after the blood. No, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to Mount Moriah, offering there for a burnt offering. My own son? Abraham didn't question it a bit, because he was so old when his son was born. He knew that, well, if God could give me a son when I'm 100 years old, why, he can restore him to me too. And he believed God. And we read in the book of Romans that faith in God, God counted for righteousness. And more than that, he didn't just count it for righteousness, but he had it written down in the book. So that you people who are here tonight can say, well, if that was for Abraham, and it's the same for you. Anyone that will believe the record that God has given of his son, he counts it for righteousness. Well then, Abraham said, well, here I am. And so he goes. To slay his own son. Well, now let's read the picture. Read the story here and get the picture in our mind. Abraham rose up early in the morning, third verse, and saddled his ass, took two of the young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Now there are volumes of things come in here, but we haven't time to read all of them, Dale. Couldn't do it in a little time like we have tonight. But they went to the place that God had told him of. That's obedience to God's word. And that's what he valued. Say, by the way, fathers, mother, do you like to have disobedient children? Or do you like them better? Like them better? What do you mean? You like better, though, their ways, don't you, if they obey? Of course you do. But you love them just the same. But nevertheless, he was obedient. He'd go right to the place where God told him out. Well, what happened? Let's see. Well, on the third day, verse 4, Abraham lifted up his eyes. Now he'd go to the place. It took him 3 days' journey. And when he got to, oh, I see the place now. And he's got these two young men with him that are helping carry the burdens and everything. Now look what he does with them. Look at what we get here. Well, Abraham said unto his young men, verse 5, you young men, you stay right here. You know, I am the lad who's going over yonder and worship. What? Abide ye here with the ass, and I am the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Worship and come again.
Worship, oh beloved friend, if you get your eyes fixed on Christ and lay hold of the fact that he loved you enough to die for you, it'll produce worship in your heart. And it's in the heart that it looks for things. And let me tell you another thing. It won't be any sham. It won't be any pretension if you really find out that down in your heart, well, I'm the very sinner for whom Christ died. He died for me and he wouldn't have been the only sinner on earth. He loved me enough to do it. Well, it'll make me love him. And love is what produces worship. Knowledge of what he's done. How about? Well, and he said this. And then he took, but he said, we're going to come back again. Now, wait a minute, before we go any further, God had told him, I want you to go slay your son. I want you to offer him for a burnt offering. And then he said, you stay here till I have let go beyond and worship and come back. Go and slay your son and bring him back. That's exactly what it sounded like. And that's what he believed. He believed God, and that's what counts as for righteousness. Not a thing that you can do for your salvation except to believe God. Well, then what? Well, he took, and look at verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. Oh, just a minute. Just a minute. I think now God's son condemned the poor pilot. Going out to Calvary, his back scraped and bleeding, carrying the cross on his bleeding back, being out to Calvary. And here, God had that in mind when he told about this and told Abraham. Now you, and here, Abraham, God knew how it would grow up, but then some people speculate on it. No way that I know in scripture to tell exactly. But the boy goes carrying that wood on his back up there to that hill of Moriah. And he doesn't know. The boy doesn't know what's going to happen to him. But Jesus knew. And he had told him before that he was going to the cross for that. But more of that was there. Now, well, he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and notice, they went both of them together. Who both together? Who went together? Well, Abraham was it. And who went with him? His son. His only son. That is the son of the promise, only one, and the one that you love. They went both of them together. God the Father is interested in your salvation, as well as Jesus did. He loved you enough to provide a lamb for the children. Oh, all right. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for burnt offering? What did that little boy know about the lamb for burnt offering? What do your children know about the lamb of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? Do your children know that they couldn't go to heaven if Jesus hadn't died for them? Well, evidently, Isaac knew them. But father, you got the wood, you got the fire, you got everything, but I don't see the lamb. Where is the lamb? Now notice. Marvelous thing, because when you read God's word, you must remember that it's not just merely what's put down here to tell you literally what happened, but it's what God had in mind way back then in eternity, a way to bring you and me into relationship with each other. Now, what do we find? Well, he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Now, listen to Abraham. I sometimes wonder, reading this portion, who felt the worst, Abraham or Isaac? Poor little Isaac, he didn't know what was going to happen to him, but Abraham knew. Think what it must have meant to Abraham. Put yourself in the place that you've been called to offer your only begotten son. And your son doesn't know what you're going to do, but you do. And you have to tell him, well, he said, well, father, you've got everything ready except the lamb. Where are you going to get the lamb? Where is the lamb? Now look at the answer. Abraham, oh, it seems to me like he would just break down in tears to tell him who I did. But listen, he speaks volumes in this little word. Now what is it? Oh, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now again, it says, so they went, both of them together.
Keeping that in mind, beloved friends, let's remember what we get of the story of Jesus going to the cross in the Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. You know, when you find him hanging on the cross, what's the first thing that escapes the lips of the Lord Jesus there? What does he say? Does he scold the people around him and say anything to them because of the way they treated him? No. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. So that is the heart of the Savior, and he was hanging on the cross for this time. Yes, but what was the last word he cried on the cross? In that gospel, of course, when we get that. What was it? Oh, when it's all over, you hear nothing about being forsaken of God. Nothing about his suffering or even, but he would do find it there when he tells the thief that. But wait a minute, when it's all over, he says, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. God, as God, forsook him on that cross in those hours of darkness, but in Luke's gospel, he's brought before us as the Son of Man with a Father. And as a Father, he was never forsaken. God, as Father, never, in that respect, forsook him, never. So they went both of them together and suggest that to us here. And perhaps that's what the Spirit of God had in mind. No doubt God had it in mind, even before the foundation of the earth. Well, now, they came to the place. Here we are, finally, the place. Now, well, they came to the place, verse 9, which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. Look at his son lying there on that altar, bound to the son. Wood is there, the fire is already. His hand is raised up with the knife, ready to slay his son. But finally he said, well, Father, where are you going to get the lamb? Well, he said, God will provide himself a lamb. Oh, beloved friends, let's not forget this little point. A little point, this important point. God himself, now all that is what he said. God will himself provide a lamb. He will provide himself a lamb rather. That's what he will. Why did God have to have a lamb provided for himself? Because every one of us is a sinner. And the only way that sin could be put away was like we were singing that little song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So, he's offered as if Christ is offered as a burnt offering, and God provided a lamb for himself. And who was the lamb he provided? Well, you have to go to John's, go to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and you'll find out. We have time to turn to it. I'm hardly even quoted now. But anyway, now, there's Abraham. Get that picture in your mind. You are the boy. You're one of you boys. You're the one lying there. And the knife. Oh, what a solemn moment. Oh, nothing left but just one stroke and he's gone. But did he? God was watching over that scene, and he's watching over this scene tonight. He's looking down into this room. If you're here tonight that haven't got your sin blotted out, God is looking down with compassion, with love. He wants you to look at Jesus, who has died for you, who was offered for your sin. But not Isaac. No, in Isaac shall my seed be called, we read in the preceding chapter. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now when he speaks to Abraham thus, and said thy seed, well, he's referring to the Lord Jesus as he did when he told the serpent that the seed of the woman is going to bruise your head. But anyway, now to go on. The angel cried, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, now, perhaps we might say here, when it speaks of angels in the Old Testament, and all through the Bible, at certain times it says the angel of the Lord. Sometimes that refers to the Lord himself. And perhaps that's what it is here. But what did he say? Abraham. I mean, to the angel. Well, he called him. And here, what did he say? The Lord called him unto the Abraham again. And he said, here I am. He said, now don't you lay your hand on that boy. after telling me to come up here and offer him?
Laying out your hand upon that thought. Why? Why? There's a difference between Isaac and every other human being. The difference from the Lord. God spared Isaac. Abraham didn't have to slay his son, but he had faith enough to believe that he would slay his son, and God would raise him up and go back down to those young men that were left behind after we come up here to worship. Abraham had that kind of faith. Well, now let's go on with that chapter. So he said, lay not thine hand upon the man, neither do thou anything to him, for now I know that thou fearest God. It was an awful trial for him, but he stood it. He believed God. And the same for you and me. If you believe God and do whatever he wants you to do. But then what? Well, he didn't slay his son. He was stopped. But he had not withheld his only son. Sometimes, you know, we want to hold on to something. Don't want to go all the way with the Lord. But anyway, to go on. He lifted up, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from thee. Now Abraham, verse 13, lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, or behold, behind him, in a thicket, there's a ram, caught with his horns in the thicket. And what did Abraham do? Nothing more said now about that, or is that good, as they, at least not here. So he releases his son. He's free. He didn't have to die. But the ram is talking about him, died in the stead of his son. Now, what does God convey to Abraham in this? What was he telling him? You go to the 8th chapter of the Gospel by John and you find out one thing. The Jews to whom he was sent, they wouldn't have him. And they contradicted him in various ways. But to be brief, he said, something about Abraham. He said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. And those Jews looked and said, oh, you're not 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? Yes, this is more than 2,000 years later. Yes, he had before Abraham was I am. Now, what did God convey to Abraham? This, but it's not put in so many words there. But you know, but the results speak louder than just certain words. What did he convey him? Well, Abraham, you know what I have in mind? I spared your son. I see you're faithful. You would give him up because I asked you to. But you know, Abraham, Isaac is a sinner. He is a sinner. You're a savior. You're a sinner. And Isaac is one. And it wouldn't do for him to die. He died. He sinned that way. Couldn't have it. But you know what, Abraham? I've got a son. My son is my eternal son. He's the one I love, and I'm going to send him, but I'm not going to spare him. Romans 8 tells God spared not his own son. He did spare Isaac, but he didn't spare his own son. He delivered him up to what? To death. And the Lord Jesus himself, he could have delivered himself from death. Why, when Peter was ready to fight, he said, put up your sword. Don't you think that right now, if I chose to do so, I could call on my father and friend, and he would send me more than a legion of angels? Well, how could the scriptures be fulfilled? Who could stop him then? If all he could do, that could be done. No, that wouldn't do. He came to die. And else we read what he said to them. They wasn't going to take him at the feast, but he said, listen here. This is your hour and power and the power of darkness. He gave himself over. Wait a minute. I gave my life for thee. My precious blood, I said, that thou, you, who are here tonight, might ransom thee and quicken from the dead. What did Jesus do on the cross? Who is Jesus? He's the eternal Son of the living God. He died. He died once to sin. But did he have sin of his own? Did he die because he was a sinner? No, but because you are a sinner. And God would save the sinner from going down to the pit. And if we're reading the book of Job, deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. What ransom did he find? His only begotten son, who was a seed
of Isaac, as naturally speaking now, as we find it, we trace it on down to the Father. But our time's about gone, so let's go just a little bit farther. Now, it says, Abraham went and took the lamb and offered it for burnt offering instead. Instead of what? Oh, if you'd been Abraham and been your son, you ready slave. And God said, no, don't you do it. Don't you do it. And then there was a ram right ready to pay instead of his son. Listen, folks. God doesn't want you to die this soon. Why? But he's got a lamb that has already died for your sin. Would you believe it? If you believe it and pray and Jesus your Savior now, your sins will be blotted out and God won't remember them anymore. You'll become a child of God and the possessor of eternal life, as we were singing in one of our little hymns tonight. Now there was more. Well, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. In the margin, it tells you, what does that mean? What Jehovah Jireh means? It means he has found faith that God will provide. God provided a lamb that could meet all of his claim against you and me. And who is that lamb? His own son. He's offered up as a burnt offering, but also as a sin offering, a trespass offering, and so on. So that he bore the sins of every believer in his own body on the tree. And you have only to receive the gift of eternal life through believing the record that God has given of his son. Well, to go on now then, by time is coming. But notice he said to him, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. See how patient God is. Now he did congratulate him. Didn't want to use that expression. At least he approved of what he's done. Somebody said, well, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. And multiply thy seed, and as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed, now think of this, thy seed. This is not saying it is the serpent seed of the woman, although it refers to the same one. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. It's a promise, not just merely of Isaac, but the promise of a substitute who could bear the judgment that you deserve, so that, and do it in such a manner that God can set you free, forgive every sin. And now, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now that doesn't say everybody's going to be saved. No. It depends upon you whether you will be saved or not. Will you receive that offer? Will you receive Jesus as your Savior? God presents him to you, not man. Man can present you with anything. We have anything to give. You remember when the Lord told his disciples to feed the multitude out there in the wilderness? Well, he said, they haven't got a thing to eat. Poor soul, and you're just as helpless if you're unsaved. You haven't got one thing that you can do for your salvation. Not a thing. Well, then the Lord said to the disciples, well, you give them something. But we have got a thing either. They couldn't give him anything either. Dear sinner friend, not one of us would know the Lord can give you anything. Well, what a hopeless condition that is. It is hopeless. If you're looking to man, there is no remedy whatever. Yes, but what did Jesus do? Oh, he took those little buns and those little fishes and he broke them and then he gave them to the apostle and said, now give it to them. They had something now, but where did they get it? They got it from the Lord himself. Where do you and I get anything? Dear Christian, let us creep close to that Christian side. Let's feed on that Christ, the living bread, as we read of him in the
sicked out through John, has been drinking of that living fountain, so that our hearts will be filled with praise and gratitude, and we'll have something from the circumstance of life that we can pass on to others and cause them to put their faith and hope in the Lord Jesus. Well, our time's gone, but Abraham returned and went to the young man, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. Let's sing in closing a little song, 35. Number 35. You see, you remember that he said, Abraham said, I'm going to go and worship with the lad, and I'm going to come back again. Well, the Lord Jesus is going back in glory. He's finished his work, but he's coming back again. What's he coming back for? Oh, let's put it in another way. Who is he coming back for? Will you be among the number? Well, number 35. Shall we are here tonight. Shall we gather this coming from the dead in Christ to rise? Shall we hear the Savior summon to God's home beyond the sky? Do you mean to tell me that the dead is going to rise? Why, Abraham believed he'd slay his son and take him right back with him. But Christ had died. He'd been raised up again. That couldn't be for Isaac. And even if he had died, he wouldn't have been raised. He couldn't have died for you. He couldn't be a substitute. But Jesus can be that, and he is that, for everyone that believes. Well, now look at the second verse. Daily nearer draws his coming. This makes all his own rejoice. All his own rejoice. Love be a lot of joy in this world tonight. All of you who are his own, you ought to rejoice to think that his coming is nearer tonight than it has ever been before. And he may come tonight and leave the sinners left behind and take the Savior's home. Who are they that fear to me? Are you afraid to meet him? It's because you don't love his voice. When the Savior at his coming shall his own in glory bring, will you be one of them? Will you? Will you join his praise and sing? Ere the day of Jesus coming, seek his pardon free to know. Be your stains of sin as scarlet, he will wash it white as snow. Yes, we'll gather his coming, his glorious coming. Gather with his saints at his coming, if washed in the Savior's blood. Number 35.
Shall we gather at his coming, when the dead in Christ arise? Shall we hear the Savior's summon to God's home beyond the sky?
Such as thou, Lord, love is born.
Yeah.